COVID hospitalizations in the U.S. have now reached their highest recorded level as Omicron pressures hospitals already understaffed. In fact, it's so dire, some hospitals in the U.S. are now calling back nurses who are COVID positive but asymptomatic. Meantime, big banks are cracking down on unvaxxed employees. J.P. Morgan and Citigroup warning this week that some workers will lose their jobs if they don't get the shot. Our health reporter Anjali Kamlani joining us now with more. Anjali?
That's right, Alexis. So we've heard from, as you mentioned, the big banks. So let's start with Citi, which had already implemented a strict vaccine mandate for its employees starting in October, saying that they had to be vaccinated by this Friday or have to go on unpaid leave and possibly lose their jobs by the end of the month. That now compared to JP Morgan, which is implementing sort of a kind of reflecting what we see really across the country, which is just patchwork of policies depending on the location of the employees. He did say, the CEO did say that we're looking at New York specifically, and New Yorkers will have to be vaccinated in order to keep their jobs, especially those in the Manhattan offices. And by comparison, again, looking at United, really enforcing another vaccine mandate there and emphasizing the fact that employees who have been vaccinated have really helped keep the network flowing, even though the company has had to scale back on certain on routes as well. But they do have at least one solid point to help enforce those mandates, and that is zero deaths. That's something CEO Scott Kirby emphasized in a memo to employees. Back to you.
And Anjali, I know that you sat down with Novavax's CEO, Stanley Erck, just on the heels of their emergency use authorization application for their COVID vaccine in South Africa. What did he tell you?
Well, it was a wide-ranging conversation, but specifically, the company is now basically firing on all cylinders. The company has been, of course, struggling in the past year to get to the finish line for emergency use authorizations, and in one fell swoop has managed to get the authorizations in three pretty large markets. That's the World Health Organization to supply the world, the European Union, as well as India. So based on that right now, already shipping out to Europe, applying to another number of countries and expecting to get those authorizations in really within the next 2 months. And that includes the U.S., which they have supplied all the data to the FDA and are waiting to hear back and expect to have some movement by next month. And this is certainly a significant shift compared to where they were this time last year. Here's a little bit of what Stanley Erck and I had to discuss.
We have shipped our first product to Europe. We've actually shipped our first product to Indonesia. We shipped 10 million doses. We focused on low and middle income countries first. And we are now actually vaccinating people, which is a terrific feeling. And I think that all is going to happen is going to accelerate over the coming couple of quarters. The hard part is you have to balance in this first quarter as you're launching and you're trying to get product globally and trying to get it to low and middle income countries at the same time you're trying to fulfill other obligations. It'll be a little bit rocky at first, but it's going great right now. And so the production sites have scaled up and we're starting to make lots and lots of product.
I want to touch on that, Stan. Can you fill us in a little bit about that ramp up, maybe a number on how many doses per month you're anticipating, you know, throughout the year as you continue, especially as we know that you're suddenly met with all of this demand at a time when people didn't necessarily expect you would.
Well, we are. We expected we would, and what we expected is starting to happen. We are on track to do what we have said we would do, which is to get to the point where we can make a couple billion doses this year. So we're at a rate in this quarter of over 200 million doses per month by the end of this quarter, and that's going to satisfy a lot of this demand. But the markets, you know, the market for primary vaccination, two-dose vaccination, which is now being talked about as three-dose vaccination, is unsatisfied. There are 30 to 40 in high-income countries, there are 30% of the people are not vaccinated. And in low and middle-income countries, it's a lot bigger. And in fact, when you're talking about a third dose and perhaps a fourth dose boosting, you know, 90% of the world's population haven't had that yet. So we've got a lot of work to do ahead of us, but we're on track to do it.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, especially as we talk about sort of resetting those numbers of vaccinated if you do consider the three doses fully. One of the things that we've seen other companies run into on the ground is, especially for low-income countries, the struggle with logistics, especially for the mRNA ones. There's a different requirement for cold storage. Have you already had discussions, and do you already have a solid plan to be able to get those injections in arms, considering the struggle that there is?
We do. There are over a billion doses of vaccine distributed throughout the world, particularly in low and middle income countries. And in a refrigerated, what's called the cold chain process, has been in place for a decade now. That's what we do. We ship at refrigerated temperatures. We use the standard cold chain that's in place. And we have a couple things in our to our advantage. One is that it's simple refrigerated temperatures. Number two, it's stable. We've got a stability of 9 months instead of 6 months, and that helps a lot in the distribution chain. And then finally, we ship it in a vial that's all pre-mixed. You don't have to do anything to it. You just stick a needle in, and it's all pre-formulated. So a lot of benefits to our vaccine and distribution.
Stan, Zach here. Thanks again for coming on. I mean, when we talk about kind of the roles that now each one of these vaccine makers is going to have to play, it does seem like, Novavax stepping into the fold here across the globe is going to be rather important when it comes to equality in getting them into the arms of everybody across the globe. A lot of experts have been saying that that's really kind of the reason why we saw Omicron spread as quickly as it did, was because global vaccination rates are so low. I mean, would you say that it's fair to call Novavax now, as it steps into the fold, maybe the most important player in really getting this under control?
Well, I'm of course not unbiased, but I do believe that's true. For all the reasons that I just stated before, I think it's true. We're going to make a significant impact on this COVID pandemic, and we have the right vaccine to do that. The other vaccines have done really spectacular breakthroughs in getting to the marketplace, but we need, there's a void, and we're going to fill that void. Not, you know, it's not exclusively low and middle income countries, because high income countries need this. We need to get past the vaccine hesitancy. We need to get boosters that are safe and efficacious, and we have data to show that ours does exactly that.
Stan, I want to talk about that safety part of it. After hitting the market, we saw each vaccine company, one after another, hit certain concerns. Do you have any insight right now, or do you have any things that you're looking for that you might have considerations of as the vaccine gets rolled out into the market, and a backup plan or a plan of action in case you do see some safety concerns?
Well, we have what we call a benign safety profile. There's a couple of things you think about. One is tolerability, how much local and systemic reactions there are, and how long they last. And I think we have the best tolerability profile there is. Safety, to be fair, we don't have tens of millions of doses out there yet, and so you don't have the opportunity to see what rare or infrequent events there are. We haven't seen any or much, and our label will reflect that. But we have a very standard protein-based vaccine that has so far proven safe in not only COVID, but we've used it in flu and we've used it in malaria. So we're pretty confident.
So as you can hear, a lot really to play with, especially in terms of still a global market to meet the demands of. Back to you.
Far-reaching interview. Great information there. Anjali Kamlani, thank you.